I'd like to turn your Bibles to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. If Jesus were to come now, verse 35, 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And then in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now notice in this passage, it starts out with a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is not one day. The day of the Lord is a period of time. It begins when Jesus comes in the clouds as a thief in the night. Now, there's nothing more sure than the return of Jesus. He is the same Jesus who went away. In Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, Acts 1, 10 and 11 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So it's certain Jesus is coming. John 14, John chapter 14, beginning with verse number 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And by the way, the place he's preparing is for his bride, those faithful New Testament church members who will be chosen as the bride of Christ. And he says he's going to prepare a place for them. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This morning, let's notice what would happen if Jesus were to come now. There are those who would rejoice. They love Jesus, they worship and serve him, and they long for his return, and they rejoice because they're ready to meet Jesus. What if he come now? Each one of us need to consider that question seriously, because yes, he is coming again. It matters not what the naysayers come up with. It matters not what the rebellious want to deny. The truth of it is Jesus, who's God, said he would return to this earth. And he will one of these days. Those who will rejoice are those that are saved. John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 7. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13 says, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then Romans 8 and verse number 1. Romans the 8th chapter, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They have been saved. They're dedicated to the Lord Jesus. Second Corinthians 4 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, why should we present our bodies? Because he said he would be manifest in our physical bodies. He will be set forth in our physical bodies. They are sanctified. 2 Corinthians 4. And verse number 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. 12, 1 and 2 again. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They are ready to meet Jesus because they have been saved by the grace of God through repentance and faith in him. They are dedicated to him in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 10. I've lost a verse of scripture someplace or other here. We're going to find it. 4 and 10. Just read it. Okay. They are dedicated to him. They are sanctified. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 17 and 18 says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters with the Lord Almighty. Then in Ephesians 5, verse number 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So they are sanctified or set apart. They're set apart to do the work of the Lord. They're set apart to reach out to others and to help to bring them to walk with Jesus as they are walking with Jesus. And when he comes, they'll rejoice because they're doing his will, serving the purpose for which he created mankind, serving the purpose for church members whom he shed his blood for when he purchased the church with his own blood. They will be loved ones, or rather, they'll be with loved ones when he comes. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 16, says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those who will rejoice when Jesus comes, if he came right now, they are those who have been saved by the grace of God. They are those that are dedicated to him, and they are sanctified or set apart for him. They would be with their loved ones. He said he was coming, and he'd bring them with him. And the dead in Christ would rise first, and those that are alive and remain would be caught up into the clouds. The resurrection and rapture will take place when Jesus comes in the clouds of the air as a thief in the night, and he'll catch away the saved, and the lost will be left behind to face a time of trouble on this earth like never has been or ever shall be, the Bible says. And so, but they're assured that they will, those that rejoice will be together once again with their loved ones. As a matter of fact, David is an example of this. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 23 says, but now he is dead. He's talking about the little child, his little child. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Confirming, little children are safe until they come to the age of accountability. They're safe until they understand the difference between good and evil. When they go out of this world, out of this life, they're going to heaven and be with the Lord. And those that are caught up in the resurrection shall be with them. As David said, I can't bring him back, but I shall go to him. Well, why do you say that? Because David was born again, child of God, saved by the grace of God. And he knew where his hope was, and he knew that his hope was steadfast and sure. Those that rejoice, they would receive a new body. Hebrews 11 and verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. When one puts their faith and trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their heart, believe and trust in him, then turn from their self and sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive that salvation. Receive that power that will make them become a child of God. Those who will rejoice are those who are going to receive a new body. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, if Jesus would come right now, there are those who are ready to meet him. There are those that have, they are those who have been saved by the grace of God through repentance and faith in what he has done. They are dedicated to Him. They're sanctified. And they will be joined with their loved ones that have gone on before. And they will receive a new body. That is our hope, a blessed hope. And hope is the redemption of our body. And at that time, we'll put off this old nature and put on the righteousness of Christ. At that time, and they have cause to rejoice. There are some, though, would be ashamed. Not ashamed of Jesus, but ashamed of themselves. Saved, but not baptized. Romans 6, verses 3 through 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And there's the verse for the fact that we will put off the sin nature. It goes with this old body. No more to be troubled. No more to have to fight that battle. No more will there be a conflict within us, because there will be no sin, and we'll have peace and satisfaction ultimately. Those that will be ashamed are those that are saved but don't follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. And by the way, scriptural baptism at the hands of a New Testament church wherein he gave the authority to administer water baptism. Those that are saved, but not in church. You know, we live in a day when church is not important, not even important to God's people. Can take it or leave it. As a matter of fact, they'd rather take sports and other things like that than they would church. Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Matthew 5:15, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The candlestick is the church, and when he lights the light of eternal life within one, then they need to take and put their life on that candlestick, which is the New Testament church, there again, where they can give God honor and glory. Saved, but living for the devil. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. They'll be ashamed of themselves at the coming of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. There are some who would be separated. Jesus is a great divider. Luke, the 16th chapter, the rich man and Lazarus, illustrates that perfectly. The rich man died, was buried, and lifted up his eyes in hell, separated from Lazarus, from the hope and the only hope that he had. And God sent Lazarus to give him hope, but he was enjoying this world, the things of this world, living the good life with all the money and wealth and power that one would desire. And yet he was taken, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And Jesus, by the way, makes a difference between an individual dying and going to hell or dying and going to heaven. That's fact of the matter. And there's only two places that one goes when they leave this life, either heaven or they go to hell. And Jesus determines that. What we do with him determines where we shall spend eternity. Fact, no question about it. Now you can deny it, you can do whatever you want to with it, but it's going to come to pass exactly as the Bible says that it will, because the Bible is the Word of God. And if you don't accept that the Bible is the Word of God, you're foolish, absolutely foolish. Because listen, this Bible has predicted the future accurately for centuries. And the predictions and the information that it gives about eternity in the Bible and the all scripture that's given by the inspiration of God will come to pass exactly as these others have come to pass. There's no chance after death. Psalms 62. Verse 6 through 8, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So, he is our refuge. He is the one that makes a difference as to where we shall spend eternity. He is the one that makes the difference as to whether or not we will rejoice when he comes in the clouds of the air. And remember, it's certain that he's going to come, because he said, I will come personally. And so you can be assured that Jesus will come. Many have already separated themselves from church by non-attendance, by living the good life, by being social instead of spiritual, and so forth. What does the church mean to you? Separated from loved ones. Luke 17, verses 34 to 36. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left behind. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming in the clouds. He's going to bring those that have gone on with him. Their bodies are going to be raised from the grave. And those that are alive and remain, their bodies are going to be translated. And they're going to be with the Lord. And that is comforting only to those who know the Lord as their Savior, only those who are assured of that. And the way to be assured of that is the study and the Word of God. 1 John is written that we might know that we have eternal life, that those who believe in Jesus might know that they have eternal life. So if you have any question about how you stand with the Lord, read the book of 1 John, see how it applies to you and what the consideration there is for you. Because truly he is coming, and when he comes, the saved will be taken, the lost will be left behind. Now you think about this, plane is flying, the pilot is saved, and the pilot's gone, the lost that are in the plane are going to crash. And buses, trains, whatever else. It's going to be a chaotic condition when all the saved are taken out of here. And so, don't think that it's going to be all right. Don't think it's going to be good and continue as it is. Because, again, the prophets made it clear that it's a time of trouble like there never has been or ever shall be. How do you stand in the sight of God should he come now? Therefore, thus will I do, Amos 4 and 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. We need to prepare to meet the Lord. He is coming very soon, and because every sign that he is coming is taking place, the Bible has predicted the condition that the world would be in when he would come, and the world is in that condition today, fully. And so we need to be sure where we stand with the Lord. We need to be sure, because now we have an opportunity to make a difference, to make a change. But if we wait until he comes, it's too late. Lost friend, you can't be saved if you put it off. Child of God, you'll face him ashamed if you don't really repent and get your heart right with the Lord. Either follow him in scriptural baptism, if that's the need, become a member of the New Testament church so you can give him honor and glory. Or whatever the need is, if you're lost the joy of your salvation and it's hard for you to really put the Lord first in your life, then you need to repent. You need to get your heart right so that you can walk with him as Enoch did. Now, he may not take you like he did Enoch, but then again, if he comes back, he will. Because we're that are alive and remain are going to be translated like Enoch was. The rest of them are going to raise. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, the invitation is come to Jesus. Not to this preacher, because he can't take care of your sins. Not to this church, because she can't take care of your sins. Not to this people, because they can't take care of your sins. But what we can do is point you to Jesus, the one who can take care of it. No question about it. He will save anyone who will come to him, repenting of their sins, and by faith trust him as Savior. What shall we sing, brother? 200.